Welcome back to the Challenge Total Man. That's our wrap-up podcast for episode 9. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Ally Sher. Ally, how are you?
I feel like kind of naked right now, Brian, because I like shared some information with you before the podcast, and I'm not able to shake it off right now, you know? Like, I'm feeling like a little like, I like it normally when we're like, hi, don't talk to me, let's get on the podcast.
Well, I feel like quarantine, we're like actually becoming friends. We're actually like, we're hanging out with each other on the weekends now. We're doing more banter before the podcast. And I think we're like finally, after 6 years, I think we're becoming friends. It's like, after it's 6 glorious. Years,
after 6 years and one wedding.
Yeah. You went from the person I talked to more than basically anyone in my life to now we're actually friends. We took that step.
I don't know if I'd say that. We'll see as quarantine continues. But yeah, desperate times, you know?
Yeah. What if, yeah.
I had a crisis today while watching the episode. I mean, you know, when I say crisis, it's going to be a real crisis and not just me exaggerating.
Of course not.
Well, do you want to know what the crisis is? Ask me a goddamn question, right?
I didn't know that required a follow-up. Yes. Yes. Please, Ali, what is the crisis?
What do you mean it didn't fucking require a follow-up? Like, I had a crisis.
I thought it was, and this is what happened. Okay, all right. I guess we're improv. Yes, Ad. Yes, Ad. What is the crisis?
Oh my God. I was just going to say this is improv, Brian. Yes, Ad.
Well, I just watched the Middleditch and Schwartz Netflix special.
Have you watched improv all three of them?
I watched the first one, really liked it. Second and third ones were not that great.
The third one was the best one, like by far.
Really? I don't know. I love the wedding one. That was great. The second one was a disaster from the jump.
Yeah, because the woman sucked.
Yeah. The conversations with the people were hysterical. I wish they could have done more of that the entire time. They should just have one full episode of just all their conversations trying to get stuff out of people. But yeah, I thought the first one was really good.
Well, for anyone who hasn't watched, it's fantastic. Even the second one, which I didn't love, I loved watching. It's like an incredible...
Yeah, I mean, even the parts that stink are just so, like, it's so cool to see their brains percolating and stuff like that. But yeah.
The unfortunate thing, I mean, everything's unfortunate now, right? Is like, I imagine they filmed these because they performed that show a lot. Like, they filmed it to like drum up interest. I mean, they filmed it because they got a fat check from Netflix, I'm sure. But right. Also, like, I had the desired effect on me of like, my friend and I were watching it like long distance. Like, I'm not quarantining, but we were watching it like over the phone. And we were both like, oh my God, I would buy tickets to the show immediately if we weren't at the end of the world.
What's so funny is in the first one, they did a pan to the audience at some point when they were doing like the wedding scene. And I spotted two people from my high school sitting there. I took a picture. I literally have not talked to this person since our high school graduation 10 years ago. And I was like, is this you in the crowd of the show?
Did they get back to you?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, that's me. How are you? We did the typical like 2 seconds catch up and that's all you got.
See, when you're a mean person like me, Brian, you send that, they say, yeah, how are you? And you write back, no, I wasn't trying to talk. I just wanted to confirm this was you.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, I know that person. And I know that person.
That's actually wild. Should we just turn this into a Middleditch and Schwartz podcast right now and cut our losses with the challenge?
I was going to say, well, we could just make the whole thing an improv and just go totally off script. But I feel like that would last, at least for me, about 30 seconds.
I mean, we're improvising, baby. We come here. We don't have lines. We do exactly what they do. We're just as good, if not better.
Should I open my window and scream out, tell me a situation that you're nervous about and see if someone gets back to me?
Someone's like, go F yourself.
Look, I got a whole bunch of guys coming at me. Then we'll go from there.
Okay. So do you want to hear about my crisis or not?
Yes, yes. Yes, Ad, what is the crisis?
This is making the package of greatest hits that we'll ever make.
Right.
No, you know what? Now it doesn't even, this doesn't even, it's breaking the flow of what was otherwise a great bit we were doing.
It was.
I was watching this episode. I'm 30 minutes in. Gotta be honest, spoiler alert for the rest of the episode. Not too thrilled with this episode. Take it or leave it. Not the worst of the season. Certainly not the best.
Yep.
And my notes deleted. And by my notes deleted, it was user error. I deleted my notes like an 80-year-old who doesn't know how to use the computer. And I was like, I do not want to watch these first 30 minutes again.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to cobble it together. So we're really improvising today because I deleted my notes.
Oh, man, that is a crisis. Yeah, because watching the first 30 minutes or even the whole episode again wouldn't be that great. Because, yeah, this was not the best. Although I was actually thinking about it as I was going through my notes to remind myself of what happened. I was like, it wasn't great, But I think I was entertained. Like, when I was watching it, I thought to myself, this is entertaining, but it wasn't good. So I think that's I think that's where we landed.
That's 90% of the television I watch. Yeah, no, it was a middle ditch number two.
Yes, I think so. And the poor improving was the fact that there was no deliberation, no nothing. It was just nonsense the whole episode. But yeah, that was good.
We don't know enough information, or at least I personally don't know, and I'm going to demonstrate my great preparation for this episode and go to Twitter now live and hopefully find something about it if it exists. What the hell is Big T getting medevaced for? Stitches on her foot?
I guess so. I don't, it seemed like a odd injury to be, but I feel like I remember like Dustin like cut his finger like a while ago and he got medevaced for that at some point too. But then you have Kara like breaking her wrist and being allowed, like her and Hunter being allowed to compete with like that. So I never really understand their threshold of elimination protocol. And also just incredibly cruel to make the girl hobble away. Like, you couldn't just get a car there. Like, you had to make her like hobble on the crutches to leave the game. Like, give her a help.
The reality for me is, like, especially with this challenge, I mean, maybe she couldn't get it wet, or maybe she couldn't like bear weight on it, but I would like to see her still. I want to know what part of that you're
ba-dum-shishing. I don't know. Anytime you mention Barrett and it's not about him, it's
oh, okay.
It's so.
Okay. Whew. All right. I almost would have liked her to be able to like be like a Missy on Survivor and sit out of the challenge and see if like people throw her in. And then if she like gets thrown into an elimination, like she DQs from the challenge. And if she gets thrown into an elimination that she can't compete in, she loses.
Yeah. So, I mean, Swaggy didn't compete this week. He was allowed to stay. So same thing. What's the difference?
That's why I was like, she can't jump into the water and then use her crutches. Like, this wasn't even a challenge that I feel like she would have been like debilitating on.
Yeah, unless it's the water thing, which I guess could make sense with cuts and stuff like that. I guess that is the fear, getting it wet, but I don't know. There should be enough bandages. I don't know how feet cut works, so, but I guess that's the fear.
But Big T, to do a ranking of most likely return, I would maybe put her slightly below Jay, but probably equal in that I'm confident she'll be back. And that's really the best possible outcome for Big T when you look at her first stint on the challenge.
Yeah. No, 100%. I think the fact that she went out this way makes it more likely for her to come back. I think she competed in elimination and just got like absolutely smoked by someone. I feel like that would make it more likely she wouldn't come back. She'd be like, all right, she's fun, but, you know, what is she really going to do? The fact that we kind of were left hanging, wanting more from her, I think absolutely she'll be coming back.
I totally agree. I think it's like the legend of Big T grows. Like, we got it all season. We're like, you know, first time out, not so great. Second time out, I'm learning the game. People like me. I'm strategizing. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to go in. I'm a competitor. And then getting pulled, I didn't get to show that I'm now a competitor, my revolution. And, you know, do I think that she would have won an elimination against most of the women, if not all? Probably not. But but this is like, at least we're like, all right, the legend can grow another season.
Yeah. And for Big T, I mean, her upside is not becoming elimination beast and winning multiple seasons. Her, like, this is her upside, just maybe extended out further, and maybe they pull together one like elimination win or something like that. So this is what she needed to show she could deliver, and she showed that, and now she can come back and do that multiple times over with now friendships that she can then cultivate in the probable long off season before the next one.
Let's talk about the other spillover drama moment that ends up with Josh on the bar, but we'll procrastinate getting to that. Last week we talked about this, but Swaggy accidentally, because he can't help himself, I think, outs his alliance with Wes to Josh by saying, like, oh, I knew that Bear was going to go in. It wasn't a blindside. We see that sort of payoff where Swaggy raises it to Wes. And what I love about this moment from Swaggy is he takes absolutely no responsibility. Wes is like, well, how do you know they're working against me now and they're mad? The Holy Trinity, his friends for the last 15 years, Wes and Josh. And so he's like, oh, I overheard them, you know, like Josh was going off. I walked away, but I'm like, okay, that's not what the camera showed.
Yeah, I'll say this, Josh. I know we can give Josh a lot of shit for a lot of the stuff he did, but it was a little perceptive of him to kind of pick up on that. As you know, I bet for Swaggy, I don't think he was even necessarily lying in that spot. I don't think he realized necessarily what he even probably said to Josh, or like the implication of it. I think he was probably just talking, and either it slipped out or he just didn't really understand what he was saying. I think it was actually a little perceptive of Josh to realize that that meant, okay, Swaggy is working with Wes. No one else knows what's happening, but Swaggy knows what's happening, so that means he's with Wes. So now I have at least that piece of information. So to give Josh some credit, which we won't do that much this episode, I'll give it to him there.
Yeah, of course. No, and when, like, Swaggy, to your point of him not even realizing, like, I really think Swaggy can't help himself. Like, Swaggy's hearing Josh go off, and Swaggy wants to be like, yeah, I knew about it, without realizing totally, like, I'm out. Like, I need to be quiet and pretend like I don't know shit. Like, that's the role I'm playing, which is a hard role for anyone. I wouldn't really be able to play that role at all. So I relate to Swaggy, but it was dumb. And Josh, a lot of other people would have overlooked that. And I think Josh also, for maybe the first time ever, handled it the right way by using the information, going to the Holy Trinity, spelling it out for them, and not just popping off in that elimination to Wes. Like, he could have popped off there at Purgatory.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I also thought Wes, I mean, I know this is Wes, like, the healer, he's very braggadocious and stuff like that, but I do think he was overestimating. Yeah, yeah, that's a nice word. And I actually pronounced it correctly, so I'm giving myself some credit. I do think he's overestimating where he stands, though, with those girls. I mean, first of all, he doesn't know them for that long. I mean, Kayla and Jenna, like, they're all fairly-ish new to this world. Maybe not, he knows a lot more, but I don't know if they view him as, like, so high on their list that they would go to bat for 100%. So, like, it doesn't really come back to bite, especially with the structure of this season. Like, it probably won't, but I do think he was overestimating where he stood with them.
I do wonder if he feels strength. I agree too. I think Wes really underestimates, like, everybody else, and that's his bit, exactly what you're saying. But I wonder if, because he's working with Bananas, he feels more confident, because I feel like, you know, I've never really been sure about Nani and Wes's relationship, or, like, I would associate Nani and Jenna more in Bananas' camp, but now maybe because, and, like, they're friends, like, definitely outside the show are friendly. Yeah. Obviously, Nani is, like, a quote, quarantining at Wes's house, but I would always associate them more in Bananas' alliance in the game, and so maybe by working with Bananas, he feels like, I definitely have them on lock.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. That's fair.
Should we talk about the challenge? I have two notes on the challenge.
Sure, we could go there.
If I have two notes, so you're going to have to take us there.
Challenge is tunnel rats. They have to torpedo down Super Mario style into a water-filled tunnel, swim, collecting puzzle pieces, and pop out and finish the puzzle. I think it's five or six pieces. I don't remember.
The puzzle was so weird because it wasn't, like, in a shape. It looked like it just, like, once you found how it linked together, it was, like, on a diagonal.
Mm-hmm. It was an odd-shaped puzzle. It was probably one of those that seemed super easy because it was so few pieces, but I guess if it has to go a specific way and you can kind of turn and twist them, it probably wasn't that easy. What did you make of it? I guess it was because Big T left, but the fact that it had to be uneven teams, I guess in this challenge, I don't think it really mattered that much that one team was shorthanded. I know they didn't win, but I don't think it necessarily mattered that much.
Yeah, it's like two people have to get a puzzle piece. You know, two teams end up having to do that. I didn't even notice, honestly. I feel like I've just been so checked out of these challenges this season. I'm sure people are going to be like, don't podcast about the show if you're checked out of the challenges. But, like, I'm a regular viewer, like you, everyone else. And I thought it was cool the first time to watch them, like, you know, go sewer diving and, like, drop in. Like, that looked cool. But otherwise, how is this different at all than the ice pick challenge and, like, dropping into water, getting puzzle pieces and doing the puzzle? You know, like, there was no nuance. There was nothing different. No strategy you could use. It was just, like, five of you go in, five of you do the puzzle.
At least they weren't, you know, shoving ice that we were doing absolutely nothing. At least everyone had to do it. And I guess, like, the one twist, you have to wait for everyone to finish before you can kind of move on. So I didn't mind, especially because it was only done in two heats, basically. So the fact that it wasn't like, you know, pairs that we had to watch them do this, you know, 20 times over. So for that, I enjoyed it. And I mean, I like this more than this week's elimination, which has been kind of the bizarro of this season. So I did enjoy this one more than some of the more recent ones.
And 100% to jump to the elimination, I'm kind of down on both of them. I think you're right. This challenge is better than the elimination, but marginally, because, like, imagine an elimination you'd want to see less done twice. Like, I couldn't believe that. This is the one we had to see twice.
Totally.
Totally. Question from Jana Morris Hebda. Since Swaggy was DQ'd from swimming, why was he allowed to be with the team for the puzzle? I thought this was a fantastic question.
It's a great question. And also, why wouldn't the whole team just be DQ'd? We see people and teams do stuff and get DQ'd, and that kind of just ends it for the team. Like, I feel like the whole team should have just been done.
Yep, that's true too. I like that they were able to continue, just because it was sort of like, when Jay misses the numbers in the car, we're like, why can't he like run it again? Or maybe, I don't know if you felt that way, but like, I don't want to see the challenge like stop because of one person on a team like this. If there's only like four teams and so many people would be hindered by that, if they can continue, I just want to see them continue to be hindered. I think Swaggy, once Swaggy DQs, he abandons his team.
Yeah. And then the image of him with the helmet on backwards and TJ roasting them, that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff.
I mean, Swaggy's performance was so bad here that people were like, did Swaggy throw it? Because Bailey's not on his team. Like, what happened? I mean, I'm not going to like say that it's not scary to like plummet into a deep ass pool of water where you have no like bearings or sense for. But like, this is the challenge. You know, like, this was certainly not the scariest thing we've ever seen happen on the challenge.
Yeah. And I mean, they've done swimming stuff before this season, right? I feel like I'm not blacking out. Like, he's done those. Like, I don't know what happened that he just like, failed to meet. Like, the second he hit the water, he like threw the white flag. I'm out. Call, get the crew. I'm done. Like, I mean, they're all wearing, again, like I think someone said, they're all wearing life jackets. I mean, the worst that's gonna happen, he's just gonna float there. Like, I don't think he can even drown.
Said that.
Yeah. So I don't know what Swaggy's issue was there.
Speaking of issues, Kyle Picard said, "Why are the guys always so mad about losing daily challenges on women's elimination rounds?"
I mean, I think it's just the competitive. I think a lot of these people, they A, don't want to like look bad, they kind of want to win. B, it is also better to be in power than not in power. And C, I guess going back to A, they just want to win. Like, I don't know. I would kind of feel like, I want to know if I would get as upset as they do, but losing isn't fun, so they want to win.
I want to jump to the question of the week, and this is, I probably shouldn't, but I can't help myself. Haley Strong, and I was going to ask this later with Josh, but I think we should keep it as a through line through the whole episode. Haley Strong asks, what is Josh trying to accomplish? And that question comes to mind in this moment because it's like, yes, he wants to win, and I believe that. But I also feel like Josh is a really, really smart and produced and is obviously trying to accomplish becoming a staple of the challenge. And it's almost like I want to say his efforts are misplaced in trying to become like the new Wes or the new Bananas. But maybe it's like, you know, Costanza. Like, if he keeps telling it to us, it eventually will get. I don't ever think Josh will be Bananas or Wes. I don't think he can really back it up physically. But like, what's he trying to like, is it almost making him unlikable because you can see through it? Or is he like his best champion for himself?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I would love to put him to a lie detector and or at least peer inside his brain to like what is his level of self-awareness, what is his level of playing it up for the camera, but then is he playing it up so much that he's like believing it and now this is reality, which I kind of think it is with Wes. I do think he's played that up so much that he genuinely believes the rivalry with Wes. But some of the other stuff, I think he plays up, like the stuff with Swag. Like, I never can get a sense of his real motivations and thought process in the moment of if he's being real or self-produced or produced from. Like, I can't get my hands on Josh.
Yeah, he's a slippery guy. I agree with everything you said. I like, for me, the biggest like eyes open moment was when he like picks that fight at the reunion with Gus, and like it was just two guys desperate to make sure that they could get a chance to come back, and I was like, oh, okay, like this is not real at all. Like, 0% real.
This is the second time he brought up this Gus thing, and it is way more than I thought he would ever get mentioned again. And I hope this is now like a Gus might live on in the challenge world only in this podcast. I think people are gonna forget he exists except here. So he's got that.
Well, that it's like, I get very selective, right? I cannot remember, like, somebody was asking me recently about like something on the challenge, obviously not a listener of this podcast because you all know I don't remember shit. And I was like, I can't explain to you that I watch an episode, I do the podcast, and 20 minutes later, I can't remember anything that happened on the episode. the certain moments I will never forget. And the Josh and Gus fake fight at that reunion was like so obviously two guys trying to advance their own challenge career that it like it stuck with me as like a, I'm mm-hmm. seeing it's like akin to when Kristen Cavallari reveals that there's like a green screen in the hills behind them at the end of the hills, like spoiler alert for the hills. So it's just like, it's like, wow, I really saw through. They broke the fourth wall to me and I saw through the production of the show.
It's interesting. The Goss and Nelson's fedora. Those are the two lasting
yeah,
memories
exactly,
that will
exactly.
be there forever.
Oh God. Okay. So
another moment, again. Another moment for the show. Like this is very subtle, and it's all I may have only thought of it because I just love Nani so much. But the fact that there's four teams doing this, she's on one of the teams. She competed against one of the other teams, and you could see how the other two teams finished the puzzle. And she has a confessional, being like, "We don't know how all the other teams did." It's so I know the timing and stuff like that, but it's just so Nani. It's just so perfect where she just doesn't get any sense of like the game and stuff like that. I just found that so amusing.
I really thought it was weird too because it was only in two heats, so you at least know one team. Like you,
right.
you only are compared to the winning team. I didn't
you know
understand.
You know how at minimum how half the people did, and then the other half you did see them do the puzzle, so you know that one team beat the other. So you just don't know how one team really did. But it's Nani. And then, you know, that's why she's the best.
The thing I'm most excited to talk about from this episode is the Jenny D. Rogan situation. I thought this was yep. actually one of the more interesting dynamics that happened this season. So this like buoyed the episode a bit for me.
Yep. No, this was interesting. And this was the one semblance of like strategy and thought because everything else was just who's volunteering. So this was like the one thing we got.
All right. So let's start breaking this down with a question from the great Jeremy Hamilton, who says, why did Dee just now realize she didn't want Jenny in the final? You'd think this would have crossed her mind when she had the option to throw herself in instead of handing Jenny a huge layup in week two. Or I'll add the question to get make nice with Tori and Jordan, and I think Jenny probably would have understood. Mm-hmm. And then he says, is it possible that Dee intentionally plays super sloppy just to get more screen time? That's a theme of the week.
No, I mean, I don't discount that last question, but I don't think about it in this situation. I more think about it with how Dee and Rogan interact, because I do want to discuss them, because I cannot I can't figure out Josh. I cannot figure out the Dee and Rogan relationship. That is one of the most perplexing things I've seen on television in years. But in terms of like the Jenny stuff, I think she just didn't really think about it in the moment when she just let Jenny go in. I think she got caught up in not wanting to get eliminated first and just let Jenny do it because she's friends. And then as the game has gone on and you have nothing else to do in this game but think about the game and the final, she kind of realized, like, oh, I need to get Jenny out. And then when knowing there would be a double elimination, I think it all kind of came together that she's like, all right, I have to get Jenny out.
What cannot be lost here is how this is exactly, like, as Dee is telling Rogan her evil plan, it's like the ultimate deja vu to Rogan talking to Joss and CT. Mm-hmm. About wanting to get rid of Dee for the final. She's my number one. I don't want her in the final. I can't be at blame. I need you guys to do it. Dee then says to Rogan, I'm going to do this exact same snake thing to Jenny. And it's truly wild. Like, it is really wild. And to me, it's sort of like why I think Dee is past that and like never really gave Rogan the like the medicine he deserved on that, like getting mm-hmm. pissed at him and, you know, denying him her as a person mm-hmm. because I think she understands it from a game move because she's making the same game move. What is crazy to me is, and I agree with you too, I agree in terms of it being now as opposed to earlier, is like same with Rogan and Dee. Like, you want your allies, you want to make sure that you're protected in the game. She wanted someone to decimate Jen, and mm-hmm. now she's like, all right, I'm pretty confident with my relationships with Wes and Swaggy, whatever. I don't need Jenny's protection. I'm going to need to mm-hmm. get a Red Skull, and I'm going to have to face her, and that's stupid for me. But with the Rogan thing, so Christina Maud says, is the final going to be everyone for themselves, or will there be a male and female winner? And I want to talk about that because Rogan finally gives us sort of an honest confession, but at first he gives us the confession of like, oh, if Dee's going to do this to her number one, what if Dee does this to me? And to mm-hmm. me, that logic only jives if he thinks it's men versus women at the end, because like then Dee would have an incentive to get rid of a tough competitor like Rogan. However, if it is men versus women, then Rogan is aided by this move to get rid of Jenny. So like, mm-hmm. again, Rogan's real rationale, which does come out later, which is like, I'm just sick of Dee, is like he lies to us of like, oh, Dee's the bad guy, so I'm going to do the heroic thing and tell Jenny, because Dee's going to be like, if Dee betrayed her number one, why wouldn't she betray me? Rogan, you betray Dee literally right. every morning you open your eyes.
This is why I can't, when Rogan told Jenny, like I had like a moment of like, are Rogan and Dee just some like master, like just psychopathic manipulators that just like are constant, like they have this plan to just build each other up, but then also agree to just rip each other apart and just know that that will make them like characters and interesting, and but they're both good enough that they could overcome it in some challenges, but then they know that they'll also tear each other down again. And I went to a weird place. I was like, are these two like the smartest people in the world, that they just have figured this whole system out, that they're just gonna cut each other off but also come back together? I can't figure these two out. It's baffling when he went behind his back to say that there, and Dee doesn't like seem to care. I can't figure them out.
Brian, spoken like a person who has never been in a toxic relationship. Let me tell you, these two are no geniuses, okay? These two are in a real life absolutely toxic relationship, to the point where they're jealous of each other, they tear each other down, but they love being with each other, and they just can't like get rid of each other. Rogan tries. Rogan's a complete liar and a fraud, and like wants to be the good guy. Dee like pretends to be, or like, or maybe not pretends, wants to be the person who like can stand up for herself, but really is just like weak in the knees for Rogan, and they'll always have that sort of like chasing its tail effect. And no, they're not geniuses. They're just suffering like 90% of the world in a toxic relationship that they shouldn't be in. But congrats to your marriage for not echoing these patterns.
So are you saying in 3 years we're going to have FaceTime calls with Rogan saying she went through D's DMs and making her come home in the middle of a challenge? Is this challenge 41 what we're seeing coming out to play?
No, because Rogan not only does not like Dee like that, but has never liked Dee like that, but Rogan likes to have Dee like him like that. So Rogan manipulates subconsciously or consciously, manipulates Dee, keeps her close, but then behind her back does everything to push her away. But she won't be pushed away because she will attach to the small nuggets of he wants me close of what he does in person, mm-hmm. and will ignore what's happening on the screen. And I have to imagine they had a number of conversations off air. This is just speculation of like, the edit, babe, like, I didn't mm-hmm. mean that. They asked me to say that. You know, I want to be on the show. Like, we're both stronger together. Maybe he's saying stuff like you're saying, like, we're great for each other on the challenge. We can keep doing this. You know, I love you. And then he gets to confessional and he's like, I hate this bitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, these two.
Here's a question from Nathan Miller. Is Dee or Rogan less likable?
Yes. I think Rogan is less likable, but I think Dee has less self-awareness.
That's interesting.
Because I think Dee thinks, but also Rogan is not self-aware, so I'm not giving him the self-awareness card either. So I don't know. Now maybe she's not. Maybe they're just equally unself-aware and annoying. But they're less annoying, at least so far. Maybe in like 3 seasons, I'll disagree. I am enjoying this more than the Cara Pauly stuff.
Well, of course.
At least it's new.
Of course. Of 100%. I totally agree with that and stand by. I like that you said Rogan is more annoying or less likable, because I think in this episode, Dee comes off less likable, and it's almost like Rogan's a snake, but a heroic snake, because you're like, at least for me, and I think someone else said this in the comments, like, I don't know why, but I'm excited that Rogan is paddling on D because I feel like D needs to get checked a little. Here's why I think it's like the edit, and I've been pounding this drum for two seasons. I feel like the edit makes Rogan more likable, and it takes like more work to see that it's actually D that's more likable, but it's narrow. Like you were saying before, yes is really the answer to this.
Yeah.
But I think D at least is, I think D is giving it to us straight. We may not like what she's saying, but she's telling us how she feels at that moment. And that's okay with me.
Yeah, I agree with that. So she gets the more honest to audience card, which is the one card I think we can give. But then back to the previous question. I think it'll be a split gender final. I hope. Because if it's one winner, like pure winner, those finals are always just the worst. Because either they do something like crazy and then like the last little segment is just like some like 10-minute race or something like that, where it just has to be like super watered down and just try to keep it generic. So I really hope they split it up and have one male, one female winner. I
agree. I think it's probably most likely to be like you're working in teams, like for certain segments, that kind of thing. And that it'll be one male, one female. I think maybe that is an indication of why Rogan tries to save Jenny, because maybe Rogan wants Jenny in the final, if that's going to be part of it. But one thing I wanted to ask, I'm glad you raised the actual question that we were supposed to talk about, because generally I thought it was strange that they continued the double female elimination, even though they were already down Big D.
Yeah, and that was odd.
And to me, the uneven teams is, and I'm afraid to continue to die on this hill because TJ keeps making it like you have limited time, you have limited time, you have limited time. But I feel like if they're going to be willing to go in uneven, then there is going to be like one basket at the end where it's like, okay, there's two more spots for women and whoever's left has to go in this challenge.
Yeah, so I was trying to do a quick, all right, so there was 19 people on that challenge.
I'm like, do you want me to stall while you crunch the numbers?
So there's 17 people left. Now, how many, I was trying to figure out how many guys and girls. Cause
I think it's 9 and 8, based on somebody saying that in our comments.
Okay, all right, so if it's 9-8, then they can go to the final even, because next week is a guy's day. So it'll just have to end on a guy's day. I think it started on a guy's day.
That's
just
interesting.
Have to end on a guy's day. Because if after next week, it'll be even again, and then let's say maybe they do two more of each, and then it's 6 and 6.
You think we're going to the final with 12?
Yeah, I mean, they go to the final with a lot, and then maybe they cut people out along the way. Or, I mean, it's 6 and 6, but let's say two of each side don't get Red Skulls, and they're cut. And then it's like 8 people going to the final.
Well, work that out. How many people on each side have skulls? So Jenny has a skull. D has a skull.
So it's Jenny. Yeah, Jenny, D.
We could spoil this episode. And Nisa and Casey have skulls.
So that's 4. I think that's it, right? Because Jenna went home with a skull. Like, Melissa doesn't have one. Nani doesn't have one. Maddie doesn't have one. There's one more girl. This is riveting. Bailey.
Okay.
So 4 girls have it, 4 girls don't. So if there's 2 more girls eliminations, then there you go. Then 2 could get cut.
And assuming I think that they don't go for Jenny.
Right.
So I think it's likely. I think it's unlikely at this point. I think the girls who don't have skulls are starting. I think we saw a real tide turning this episode where it's like, all right, enough. I don't care. Even last week, too. Like, I'm going.
Yeah. So I think similar on the guy side. I don't know if we necessarily do, but if it's 3 more guys eliminations, 2 more girls eliminations, I think there'll be at least 2 to 3 guys, girls that will have to get cut because they don't have skulls. Although I guess some of them may go home. So, but it'll probably be at least one or two that will have to be cut because they don't have the skulls. And then you go to the final with 8. I think that's how this is playing out.
That makes sense to me. And who are the guys who have skulls? I feel like the guys who have skulls is a much smaller list.
Yeah, because of all the Jason. So it's really just Fessy,
Rogan,
Nelson.
Trust over there.
Yeah, because let's see. Bananas doesn't have one. Kyle doesn't have one. Wes doesn't have one. Corey doesn't have one. And Josh doesn't have one. And Swaggy doesn't have one. Yeah, so it's only 3. Wow. Only 3 males. Yeah. So I think it would make sense that there's 3 more guy skulls out there.
And that would bring us to what, but then that brings us to a more women. That's what we didn't haven't considered is like, there's, it's likely to be more women in the final regardless.
Right. And I think that probably lends to the more likely scenario that it is a guy winner and a girl winner. Cause if you're going with unequal sides, I feel like you'll just whittle it down along the way to just have one gender, like one.
But how do you do that?
Like top, you do whatever the first round is, top three advance, and then cut whoever's left.
Okay, so everything is run individually.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
That's interesting. But see, again and again, someone asked me, like, what's one thing they should know before starting the challenge? And I was like, the rules don't matter. So, like, don't get, if you're, like, a Survivor fan, like, don't care about the rules. But it is a little weak that, like, you would potentially get an advantage by starting with fewer men. I mean, I guess that's obvious, but like then we should have had more attempts to get rid of just numbers wise, the skulls, like not even who has the skulls, but just like, I don't want to be cut. I want to be able to try to run the final.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we saw it last year, right? I mean, there was Team UK had far less people and then they had only one person, I think, be cut at the puzzle portion where the Team US had like 12 people be cut. So like there is precedent for different proportional being cut.
Robbie Freeman wants to know, is the red skull game mechanic working? The desire of players to earn their skulls and volunteers really neutered the tension drama voting, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on to say that like he wished they had stepped into that second layer of strategy of like putting in people with skulls or whatever, like the stuff we're talking about now. Like, I almost feel like it's not their fault. Like they needed sort of a season to work this out and be able to think it through more. Like this is so different from anything they've done that I'm not surprised we're just seeing people start to be like, whatever, I need to go in.
I think this episode was the worst example of it because the previous ones, we have seen different people pushing to get in. We have seen alliances. Like we saw, like when Ashley was voted in, she wasn't really trying to go in. Like people turned on her. So we have seen it. I do think this week it was just highlighted so much because three of the four people, actually, I think all the people that eventually went in, three of the four besides Jenna, although I guess even that's questionable, wanted to go in, especially during the nominations when Casey and Anissa just stood up and took it. So I think this episode just poorly highlighted, but we have seen different mechanics of voting and strategy.
But this is what happened with Tori, where it's like, you know, some people are just starting to vote themselves in unopportune places where they're not, you know, in the tribunal, or they're not like playing the game well enough to get the tribunal to vote them in, or they're not like, just, you know, to like Tori going in just like randomly. Like it's almost like the stronger people are willing to just say, whatever, I'll take what I can get. Like Casey, like, well, who's she intimidated by? You know, like, okay, maybe you put Jenny in, but otherwise, you know, I'll try, whatever. I think also, like, if we saw a second season with this game mechanic, and I'm not saying I want to, I'm not saying I don't, but if we saw a second season with it, I think Dee sends herself in against Jen. Like, I think we see a lot more tribunal people earlier on not being afraid to pull that trigger because, you know, people were understandably scared to do it. Like, I don't want to go home week one against a weak person. But as you get down the line, it's like, all right, now you have to go against Anissa and Casey.
Yeah. And I think MTV probably thought there would have been more kind of backwards voting where it wasn't just like one person like saying, I'll go in and everyone be like, oh, okay. I think they probably thought there'd be multiple people volunteering and then having to campaign to get votes rather than just, all right, I'm going to nominate. All right, you go in. And that would be it. And then also, I think if they did this format again, that's why I think it's even more critical that you cut people at the end that don't have a skull, because then it really drives home the point of, all right, we've shown we would cut multiple people for not going in, and then it's the final and you have to go home. So now if you bring it back, then you'll have people with even more urgency. Like, all right, they've shown they'll do it. I have to go in.
Right. I guess we sort of talked about Josh enough, but we would be remiss to not discuss the night out. First of all, before we go out, of course, you get that age old, speaking of toxic relationships, call my boyfriend while I'm in, where are they? Czech Republic? They're not there, but like, where are they? Like, while I'm abroad filming a TV show and he doesn't answer.
Yep.
What's frustrating here is like, I'm excited not to have to see Zach, but like, it's so upsetting to me this episode to see everybody like get on Jenna. Like, nobody is like giving Jenna a hug and saying, I'm sorry that he is doing this to you. Like, Jenna's blaming herself. Zach is blaming Jenna. And now the people that challenge, I get it. You can get sick of somebody like not doing anything to get themselves out of a situation that they're complaining about. But like, she's in a really tough spot here. And just dumping Zach is like not an answer that's like not emotional.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair. And I think, no, we did sort of see that, like how this, when this first started, I feel like Nani was kind of with her. We saw other people trying to, you know, hear out and show sympathy. But I do wonder, like, not even, like, I understand Jenna's like, what else is she going to think about and talk about? But there's got to be a point where it's like, I just, like, I love you, Jenna. I just can't listen to it anymore. Like, I understand the situation sucks and I'm here for you, but I just can't hear you complain anymore. And like, and not that that's like a good reason, but like when you're in this type of environment, I could see that developing and being sick of. Maybe not for Nani, because like Nani's like her true blue, like ride or die friend. I hate saying that phrase not ironically, but for everyone else, I could kind of understand the being like, John, I just can't listen to you complain anymore. I just can't do it.
But Nani, I guess, is the person I take issue with the most, and probably because of what you're saying. But it's like, you know, it's probably because all of this is like weighted down by like the years of stuff Jenna has probably complained about Zach. And now it's like we're years into like, but even in the beginning, Nani was like, go back to your horrible relationship and like your horrible life, if that's like how you feel. Like, but again, she's probably like 5 years into being like, he's mistreated you this whole time. Like, you're still with him. Now it's not my problem. And I'm just watching it in the lens of like, they were happy when they came in and now like she's not, and she's not getting any grace about it. But I don't know. I am. It depends on not what kind of friend you are, but I don't mean like it depends what kind of friend you are. But like, you know, like you don't bail on. I don't want to say that. Like, there's certain people that you can cut out of your life for being toxic, blah blah blah. But I feel like Jenna, at least from what we're seeing, is not doing anything crazy. I mean, it's like Kayla's done the same thing. Like, she had relationship stress. I feel like if Jenna's with her two like true best friends, there shouldn't be all these confessionals of like, Jenna's such a pathetic quitter when she's working her ass off.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think the fact that Nani was so quick to dismiss her, and obviously we'll get to like how she kind of let her be voted in when maybe she didn't want to, but seems like she didn't want to. Like, that's not the best.
But Nani has no problem supporting Casey. Nani has got it so bad for you, girl. Because she's like, it's so courageous of you to nominate yourself as a rookie. Mm-hmm. It's like literally what you have to do in this game.
This is great. She just has, you know, going after the crush. Whether it's guy, girl, this is what she does.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're Casey's girlfriend back home.
Sorry. Yes, and what's the question?
Okay. You're Casey's girlfriend back home. You watch exactly what's on the screen, including, and what's prompting this is later when Kayla says, like, take care of Nani, hugging her. Is Casey in the doghouse when Casey gets home?
I think it depends on how she does the season. if she places and brings home some money, I think you could let it slide. I think if she like loses right before the finals, I think that's the different conversation.
Interesting. Okay, so you can be bought.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. But
Emily comes home. She's like, so I won $1 million, but I do have a new boyfriend. And you're like, show me the money, baby.
Yeah, I mean, $1 million, that's a lot of money. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't think Casey's really doing anything that bad. I mean, I she's not like, they haven't kissed, like if they've hugged, like I don't know, that doesn't seem like much. She's not really giving a lot back to Nani in terms of like nice phrase, like nice words and stuff like that. So I don't think Casey has really done that much to like put herself out there.
No, I totally agree. From my perspective, I'm Casey's girlfriend. It's like, I'm not thrilled. Maybe a little worried the next time she goes out, because I think Casey will be back, but Casey didn't do anything, and I think the way I thought you were gonna say it depends on how Casey spins it, because I think Casey could be like, "Look, Nani's a powerful player. I knew she liked me. I didn't do anything like inappropriate, but I kept her in my camp."
Yeah, I mean, that would be the wrong say to say Nani's a powerful, influential player, because that's just not the case. So like, I wouldn't leave with that.
Is she not? She's been in the tribunal twice for girls once for girls elimination. Yeah, she's connected to Bananas.
She was in the tribunal, and the one person who didn't want to go in that she's like best friends with ended up going in and going home. So
Can I call out Corey Exotic here? This outfit, I gotta say, Corey could still get it in this outfit, but it was bizarre. Did you? It was like a quick clip. Did you catch this?
I didn't see it, but I did know one fashion choice. I don't normally do this, but I did notice Bananas kept on his full-on parka in the bar. I thought that was odd.
See, I thought you were gonna call out Maddie. So there was a lot of out-of-place fashion drinks. We'll see what Kyle has decided at the end of the episode. But Maddie, I feel like, is the number one dresser on occasion. She's wearing, like, a disco glitter mini dress with that big fur coat that I feel like is an automatic drink when someone's got that fur coat out. Everybody else is like wearing tank tops. I guess if Johnny's wearing a parka, it's very unclear what the temperature in that bar is. Maybe that's an indication of how much everyone's drinking.
What a disappointing season for Maddie. You know, I think we went, like, I don't think her first season, I think this is her second season, right? So I think whoever her first season was, she came in, like, really came in strong. I know she crapped out in the final, but, like, really she had a lot of promise, and she's just been a zero this season.
It's really dark. I totally agree. Maddie is definitely, I mean, I don't remember, because again, I don't remember 20 seconds after we say something, but I imagine Maddie was pretty high up for both of us in our preseason show. And yeah, she's a ghost. I don't see any reason that she should be brought back based on this season alone.
No. I mean, if you're asking me this, I can't believe I'm saying this. You have one person, like one final slot to fill. Are you filling it with Maddie or Big T? Give me the Big T train. Put her back in the show. Let's roll with that, because what is Maddie bringing?
It's really wild, because she was such a bright star, and I don't get it. Like, she's still around. I don't know if... I wonder if there's going to be this, like, shit they should have shown campaign where, like, Maddie was doing a lot of fun stuff in the background. I don't understand. Like, I don't know what her... Maybe she's going to get one episode where she goes home in the next few times, because I have to believe if she was, like, a finalist, we'd see something from her.
Yeah. And it's not even like, you know, another season, like the Cara and Pauly stuff is so, like, overwhelmingly taking over the story. Like, there hasn't really been some big, like, there's been some pockets of stories, but there's nothing, like, so overwhelming that if Maddie was involved in stuff that I feel like it would get, if it was good or entertaining, I feel like there was spots for her to have a voice.
No, that's really true. It almost reminds me of, like, Tori's first season. Like, maybe she is just, like, kicking it with people. She had the one fight with Ashley, and that gets shown. But, like, otherwise, she's probably just, like, being chill when she goes out, having a good time with people. And then she's, like, doing fine in the challenges. She's never in power. She's never, like, on the block. And not never, but, like, clearly, look, when they talk about who to send in, they're like, Maddie doesn't want to go in, so let's protect her. She's the one girl in the house whose name doesn't get said. So she's doing a good social game, but it's boring.
Yeah, which, I mean, I guess good for her. She's being normal, which is you know, great for her. That's good for long-term success in
life.
Can't
relate.
Yeah, I mean, challenge success, probably not the best. I don't know. Weird season.
Weird season. Let's end it there. Weird season. Yeah. Bye. See you next season.
Yeah. This was a new bar. Did you note that?
The last time we'll see it. I agree with Rogan on one thing.
The shot of Josh on the bar, and then quickly the bartender is like just staring at him and pointing, be like, just... Like, I didn't want these people in here. I could see that. I didn't want these people in here. I know they were going to bring business, but this is now. I have to clean this all up. This is a disaster. Just get off the bar, you lunatic.
Are they bringing business? I actually have thought that. Like, are people going to the countries that the challenge are in and being like, I have to go to the challenge bar?
I would say more so that they... I feel like MTV buying out that bar.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That must be one of their more profitable nights of the year, I would figure. I don't know how the party scene is there. Yeah, I don't know if people are necessarily traveling to wherever they are and be like, to go to these bars. I don't see it, but
it's interesting. Like, yeah, that's I'm trying to think if there... I mean, obviously, I've been to three of the Pump Rules locations in LA. I think that's obvious, like a tourist attraction, because like it's about the bar. But in terms of, you know, we're in New York City. There's a lot of reality shows that have filmed here. I'm from Jersey. Karma's obviously like a big one. I never went to Karma from Jersey Shore, but otherwise I feel like I don't know how much the promo really like brings in of like, I'm gonna go to the like challenge reality bar.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, like, again, I don't really know, but if they were like in, you know, Rome or something like that, and like it was a place that or even somewhere more, probably more poignant in the United States that more people would go to, I feel like people may not necessarily just go out of their way to go there, but if they happen to be like in Nashville or like they're filming in Nashville and you go to Nashville, like, oh, this is the place where the challenge was, I'll go there.
Take a guess of where they are.
Honestly, when you said Czech Republic, I honestly thought that's where they were. So I guess it's not there?
It is correct. They're in I Googled it and I was like, wow, I got something. Okay. They are.
Yeah, I thought it was. So when you said it's not, I'm like, oh, then I have absolutely no idea where they are.
Oh, I doubt myself. All right. Speaking of doubt, let's talk. I don't even know if that's a transition, but any negative emotion I'm going to put on this Josh Swaggy thing. Like, what even happened here? Okay. So Swaggy comes in. We get a confessional from him where he's like, you know, everyone's the West disciple. Swaggy, mm-hmm. D, indirectly Josh. Everyone wants to be West. Swaggy's like, I'm keeping my cool. I'm doing what West says. He sits next to Josh at the bar. Josh is having a normal conversation. I mean, granted, it's probably annoying to Swaggy because it's most likely about him and his allies that, like, Josh is like, everyone here is fake but us. And Swaggy says, well, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah, I don't, especially because he was doing, like, we talked about in the previous, like, moment where Swaggy was trying to, like, keep his cool and stuff like that. And here, just, he was trying to listen for Wes, keep your cool. Like, why chime in there? Like, Josh is, like, probably the easiest person to ignite and get off. And unless that's, I don't think that's what Swaggy was going for, but it was very easily accomplished.
I almost think, like, it's weird to see Swaggy. I mean, Swaggy's obviously a very smart guy. But it's very strange. I did not anticipate Swaggy and Bailey as casting choices to bring just like being blind disciples of Wes. And I don't think mm-hmm. they perceive themselves as blind disciples. I think they perceive themselves as a trio of like the strategists, but that's not what we're seeing. And I think Wes is sort of playing them well. I think Swaggy either needs to commit to I'm going to be the strategist or I'm going to be the loose cannon. Like, it was such a bad strategy move. And after the last few episodes where we're starting to buy Swaggy as the competitor, the strategist, Bailey as the competitor, the strategist, Swaggy ruins that in like one fell swoop mm-hmm. by doing this. But he's also not committed to the drama because he's sort of just being coy about it. Like, Josh goes 110% yep. and Swaggy goes 60%. And I feel like it hurts his strategy more than it helps him as a dramatic character. Does that make yeah. any sense?
Yeah, I totally agree. There was no pluses to this for Swaggy. Like, I don't think people are like, oh, now like Swaggy is a character I want to see because like, he gets in fights with Josh. And this also hurts his standing in the game. Now it creates enemies where he didn't really need to create. So yeah, this was all like definitely a net negative all around for Swaggy.
And I don't want to be like, oh, Swaggy was the only bad like problem. Like Josh obviously goes off the rails, but this is what Josh's game is. Right. So it's sort of yeah. like, what's your game, Swaggy?
Exactly.
Yeah. And like, you know, calling someone a hypocrite is like a legitimate attack. Obviously, Josh's reaction is completely insane, but that's what he does. He goes from 0 to 1,000.
Yep. Just an epic song choice, by the way, for closing out the scene with closing time. That was A+ by MTV.
Truly, truly incredible. I mean, the music has been up and down the last 2 seasons. This was mm-hmm. really one for the ages.
That's beautiful.
Anything to say, I hope, about the Tribunal of Five?
Yeah, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. The Jenna stuff, I mean, I don't... I'm torn on that too. Do you believe Jenna that like I know she's like the whole complaining about Zach, but does she want to be there to, or do you think she actually was mentally checked out and wants to go?
All right, let's jump ahead. I think everything we saw suggested that Jenna, while going through a trauma, is committed. And I agree with Jenna where she's like, if I wanted to leave, I would leave. Now the great Will Simon said, I wanted to make sure this got into the social media segment. And somebody else said, like, Nani posted something late at night and deleted it. Here comes Will Simon with the receipts, baby. Mm. Okay, so Nani said, to everyone wondering why I allowed Holy Trinity to be voted in, she addresses Kayla. I don't really think people need to be coming to her over the Kayla thing. Kayla asked and got exactly yeah. what she wanted.
100%. That's nothing.
So she said, Jenna, and she added her, don't at Jenna, made a deal with Wes off camera, all caps, to get the entire tribunal to vote her in, which is why I didn't fight it and why I was angry with her. I don't care what the final edited version is. That's 100% a fact. Cameras don't catch everything. Now, I am actually inclined to believe Nani because I don't think any other story makes any sense.
But then I don't understand her point of not voting for her. Like, if this is what she wants, why wouldn't she vote? I guess she didn't vote for Kayla either, and that was clear what she wants. So she just refuses to say her friend's name, even if that's what she wants. That, I guess, is believable for Nani. I could see her doing that, even though, like, go against sort of your friends, but to say, to come back in another season, be like, I never said your name. I could see her doing that.
Because I also think she's obviously very, like, media aware. And I think, look, if she votes for, she already looks bad. I think this whole edit makes Nani look bad. And if she votes for Jenna, then it's like, wow. She knows, if we believe Nani, that Jenna makes this deal off camera, then she knows that the narrative is going to be Jenna doesn't want to go in. And if she puts her friend in, she looks even worse than she already does. So I agree. And because the same thing with Kayla, but I think mm-hmm. it's like, what's the point of her saying her?
But did she know it was off camera when it was happening? Or did she mean like it was off camera that they just didn't show it?
I think they really know what they're doing. Like, I think they probably know exactly when they have time to be doing that off camera, especially because nobody's saying Jenna wants this. You know, like, if they had that footage, why wouldn't they use it? They've been trying to frame Jenna like a quitter all season.
But have they? I feel like the house has been trying to frame it. I feel like actually the show has been trying to frame it as Jenna overcoming Zach.
See, that's interesting, because I feel like TJ keeps giving her shit even though she's there. I hear we have a quitter. You want to quit? Mm-hmm. And then Bananas is like at the bar, like, you want to quit? Like, I honestly was surprised that we came back this episode to again see the narrative where everybody's like, Jenna's quitting. Jenna's checked out. Jenna doesn't want to be here. And Jenna's like, no, I want to be here. I want to be here. So maybe it is. That's the edit of her trying to rise above. But like, I just felt like it was like a cement bag tied to her that was just like, you clearly mm-hmm. want to quit. And she couldn't rise above it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree that they know, especially like Nani and Wes, they have a good sense of when the camera's on them. But I find it hard to believe that she's able to have this conversation with the entire tribunal, either all together or individually or in pairs. Like, the entire thing plays out off camera and then it's never then rediscussed again. That's the part I just can't see how that's possible.
So what's the alternative? Is that Nani is now lying, and this is possible, but like Nani is now saying Jenna made this deal with Wes, and then Wes kind of got in everyone's ear and like drummed this up. I mean, Nani's not saying that Jenna talked to the whole tribunal. Nani's saying Jenna talked to Wes. So all that means is Wes, but Wes doesn't even have to tell the tribunal the real story. Wes can just be doing what he was doing, which is say like, it should be Jenna and here's why, without saying Jenna wants mm-hmm. to quit.
And Wes could have even just, you know, Jenna could have just been venting to Wes and be like, you know, I probably should just go. This Zach's more important than the show. And she could have just been venting. And Wes just took that and ran with it and said, what? Like, Jenna told me she wants to go home. And maybe in the moment she kind of did, but she was just going through her typical that we've seen over the last couple episodes, venting about wanting to go home, but not actually meaning it.
I'm now on the side that I think Jenna arranged to quit. That's where I'm at. When there's smoke, there's fire. This didn't make any sense to me. I totally get what you're saying. And I think it's 50-50. You know, like, I'm not saying mm-hmm. it's 100%. There's no other side. Like, there definitely is a world where what we saw is the true story. Because, again, she could have just quit. I don't really think of Jenna as somebody who's, like, not willing to say, I love my boyfriend and I have to go home. Sorry, TJ. Like, I think she mm-hmm. would maybe be willing to say that. But... And I think she tried in the elimination, but so maybe the truth is in the middle. And she was sort of like, if I go in, I go in. And she tweeted about this and I'll read it. But like, if I go in, I go in. And if I, the same attitude with Tori, if I lose, I get to go home to Zach. And if I win, then I'm really doing great. And I win. So maybe it wasn't, I'm quitting. It's send me in and I'll keep like trying. And if I go home, I go home.
I guess so. I mean, I totally get that for the first time. Like, that makes perfect sense. But like, you got your spot in the final already. Like, unless you're just big, throw me in every time, and then if I lose, I was meant to lose. Well, you're probably going to lose because you're going in every time. So I don't know. I'm with you. I'm torn, but I'm more lean to like, maybe she wasn't there like 100% like everyone else, but I don't believe that she was looking
because
to get out.
Because what does Nani gain? And obviously Nani doesn't vote her in, but we also don't see Nani like rally and be like, I cannot say Jenna. Like, I'm not, like, she's just sort of like, well, Jenna is Jenna and I'm frustrated with her. But it's again, it's like, you can, yes, we want to see Jenna rise above Zach. I love that Jenna didn't just quit. I love that Jenna beat Tori. I love this, whatever. And I agree with what Jenna said. Like, if I was throwing it, I would have thrown it to Tori. Like, why take Tori out and then go home? I think that's true, too. But I want to acknowledge that it's complicated. Like, if you are in, we all can understand it. But if you're in love with Zach and Zach is deading all of your calls while you're in Prague and you have no idea, he's done this before. He could be with someone else. Like, you know, and she blames herself. And she takes that on, and their dynamic is toxic. But this is true. This is her truth. Her truth is, I love this man. I want to marry this man, and he won't take my phone calls and thinks we're broken up. And he is asking me to give up the challenge for him, and I'm saying no. So how could I live with that? You know. So like, I can get wanting to not be in it.
Yeah, I think this is one where unless Jenna admits that she wanted to go home and this was a pseudo quit. Like, I don't think anyone's ever gonna fully believe that it wasn't a quit. So I think we'll just be left in this limbo unless she admits to the quit part.
I think the answer, the more we talk about it, is really somewhere in between. It really is probably oscillating. She probably said to Wes, send me in, it's fine. She probably did try in that elimination. I think she probably was all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, and jumping ahead a little bit, but she was out in front. Like, she was winning. It wasn't like she like barely was giving an effort. Like, she seemed to be doing very well and just kind of happened to lose. But I mean, maybe she had the extra motivation, she would have won. I don't know. But it was like she gave a good effort, it seemed like, in the elimination.
I'll just jump to her tweets really quick. She said, thanks for another crazy season. Definitely a mentally, physically, and emotionally draining one for me. But I appreciate all the love and support from you all. A break is needed. Flex emoji. Now that, and she's tweeted one other thing I want to read, but that shocks me because I feel like her upside is like the highest it's been on a return.
Yeah, although maybe she knows that there's not another season coming for a while. So she's just going to have a nice break and then she'll be back.
And then she wrote, because this is also shocking to me. If Nani and someone, and I can't verify this, but someone said that this was deleted. Now, I don't know if that's what Will posted and he just grabbed it at the right time. Or if it got reposted. So I don't know. Maybe Nani like got drunk, posted, deleted it. But they're best friends. It's very surprising for Jenna to want to let Nani take the heat and not say anything. So here's what she said. Mm-hmm. By the way, Nani tried to keep me out of elimination. I'm the one who wasn't worried about going in again if I had to go. Nani was one vote in the tribunal. It wasn't her fault at all. So leave her alone.
Yeah, I mean, she's one vote, but like, if you normally, like, the tribunal people give you, like, all right, who's, like, your one to save? And I feel like there was an opportunity. Like, if it was a gung-ho 1,000% everything to keep Jenna, I feel like Nani should be able to save her friend in that spot.
I agree. And I think that's where everybody's coming from of, like, what's the problem? Now, what we haven't discussed is how much Swaggy saying to Wes that I overheard the Trinity ladies talking about you. This is something I didn't think about. Like, Wes has the votes on the tribunal. We would think Nani could wage that influence, but like, not a coincidence maybe that the Holy Trinity goes home.
Yeah. Maybe not, but I feel like that we probably would have got a shot of Wes being like, oh, the Holy Trinity, I think they could plot against me. Well, now they're down to one. So I don't know. And then he also kind of talked about them being super close. So I think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, we'll see.
The whole nominating yourself thing also throws it off because Kayla kind of just wanted to go in. So I don't, it's tough.
For sure. Speaking of Kayla wanting to go in, Edward Morris says, does Kayla's logic of wanting to face Casey over Anissa make any sense?
Not really. I mean, what? So she's like doing a bucket list of people to beat? Like, I already beat Anissa. Let me go beat someone else. I don't know. That's kind of weird. I feel like I'd rather go against Anissa, not knowing what an elimination is at this point in time.
I agree. I think it's debatable. I was also talking to someone about this. Like, it's really hard to pick someone who has that much size over you, I feel like, in something that could be head-to-head, especially if she doesn't feel comfortable saying, like, let me wait and see what it is. You know, the old climbing challenge that she's so good at. Like, but, so I think sometimes, like, if it were, you know, obviously she knows it's not going to be the wrestle the stick challenge because that just happened, but I wouldn't want to take Anissa in that. I wouldn't want to take Anissa in Hall Brawl. But I do think I wouldn't want to take Casey either. So I think if it's Kayla between Casey and Anissa, I would also take Anissa. I don't think Kayla would have beaten either of those women, honestly, in this challenge. I think
also for Kayla, you don't have to nominate yourself this round. You could just not. That's an option.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's weird. I think it's totally weird to put yourself up, especially if she feels like she's friends with Corey and Nani and Wes. Like, why not at least try to say, like, don't give me something? I mean, it's not physical. So maybe she did. And they were like, well, it's not physical.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody speculated, like, she wants to go home to bear her cat's not in the game.
Jesus Christ.
I don't really think that's the case. I think she was just like, it's time to try to get the skull.
Yeah, if that's true, then. I mean, does she really want, like, if I was her, I would want to stay there as long as possible to avoid the conversation with the ex-boyfriend. Put that one off to a future Kayla problem.
Yeah, and that's also crazy when she's like, bear's gone, now I have to focus on me. I thought she'd say bear's gone, now I have to, like, deal with the Mikey thing. Nope, right. Still no.
It's so funny. Like, if this was a week ago or two weeks ago, she'd have been like, oh, I can't wait to go home to my boyfriend. Now it's like, oh, bear's gone. What's there the point of even living? It's like, geez, what has happened?
Let's talk about Jenny's performance. I mean, so Jenna and Mel are also called in. I don't have much to say about their performance in the tribunal. I think Jenny's is insane.
Yeah, I mean, she just didn't know where to land the plane of the sentence. She kind of just kept going on and on and on and on, which I feel like I do sometimes too. So, but yeah, she just
can't
didn't
relate.
Know where to,
I always know where I'm going.
She just didn't. I love that Corey acted like a freaking Oscar host of like brushing her off the stage. I've never seen that before of like a non-producer being like, all right, stop talking.
What's crazy about this, and credit to Corey, I think Corey, we've been high on Corey all season. I think that really just continues here. But mm-hmm. I loved this where Jenny's like, I'm not going to say I'll work with you. I'll say I'm going to own your ass if I come back and I will send you in. And Corey's like, well, that's good for my game. And it mm-hmm. really frazzles her. And I think that's incredible. Like, yeah, and then she has to switch course immediately.
Yeah. I even thought him with like, I know like Melissa's not the most influential person either, but I liked him being like, all right, so you say you'll do me a favor, but then he listed off like every other guy that, well, I think I'm below all these other people. So what does that mean? Like Corey's been very good in the tribunal mix. This has been a very good showing from him.
And because Corey, you know, it's very much like dad CT. It's dad Corey or Zaddy Corey, to borrow from the great Bryce Isaiah. Like he knows what he's here for. And I watched a clip from Teen Mom of Corey coming back from the challenge to like see Ryder again. And he's so emotional. And he's like, I can never leave you alone, mm-hmm. leave you again for that long. Like, I really think Corey is here. It's a job. He's ready to kick ass. He's being really smart about it. And I love this Corey.
So maybe Nelson needs to have a kid and he can be all the next version of Nelson. How about that?
So let's go to the purgatory. The great Michael J. Clark did at me, but not in a spoiler way. And I love this. He was like, is last tweets writing jokes for Kayla? And I couldn't wait to see what it was. I missed it. I had to text him and I was like, I don't know what you meant. When Kayla goes down and is like, oh, there's big dumpsters. I get it. I'm trash. I know. Like I'll say it so you don't have to. I love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Good job by Kayla.
Good job by me for having a sense of humor enough for MJC to think that I would have written. No, good job. It was funny.
If only she watched the show, she'll get to see that made air.
We talked about the voting structure, really. I think not much more to say that it's going to be Casey versus Kayla and Anissa versus Jenna.
So were you surprised that it was, obviously, like we talked about Jenna going in, but were you surprised that it was her and not Jenny?
No, because I really didn't think that was going to have legs. Like, I don't know. I was more surprised that Jenny knowing about it didn't get back to D because she was talking about it at the bar. She was talking about tribute. Like, I'm kind of surprised that they didn't go to fisticuffs over it. But I think it was sort of more like a lightly floated idea. Mm-hmm. But there's almost no one that you could feel confident putting Jenny against who wouldn't come back 10 times angrier, 10 times yep. stronger.
And I think that's smart by Jenny to not confront. I feel like if you confront her, I think you back D in a corner, she, I don't know, maybe she would curl up. But I feel like for Jenny, it's probably better to wait till after this has passed and then just have that in the back of your mind that D would be willing to do this. So maybe she could do it to D. So I think that's probably the right thing to do.
Well, that's Rogan's method. Do you think that's going to bear any fruit in the next 2 weeks where Rogan's like, let's not say anything now, even though Jenny does say stuff like, let's mm-hmm. not say anything now and let's send D in 2 weeks.
God, that'd be glorious. I can't get enough of these two. And then next time around, D's going to be championing for Rogan again. I love that. That's like a phrase. I think the UK use that a lot more. Champion. I want to put that in my vernacular.
I'm gonna record this. What's the timestamp? Like 1 hour 9 minutes on whatever that episode 9 is it that Brian said I can't get enough of these two end quote about D and Rogan.
I feel like that's what, like, 2 months ago, people being like, oh, I just wish I had more time to spend at home. Now, well, you have to be careful what you wish for.
All right. Well, we already got a question from, we already answered that. Who cares? All right. We already said we don't like this elimination. I mean, Casey defeats Kayla so easily. It's like almost pathetic.
Yeah. And I mean, just about this elimination, this was an odd one. Like, I get the structure. Like, it was the first part. But how is there not something else to do?
Yeah, I think running to the smoke bomb was, again, taken from the main challenges. Just like, oh, it'll be cool to release a bunch of smoke.
Yeah, I don't know. Why wasn't another guy take the bombs out of the truck or whatever and then carry them to the smoke bomb to detonate? I don't know. It's just odd that, like, that was just it. It was just over.
No, definitely. It was weird. I think it was a dud. It was, but you know what? One dud in 9 challenges for eliminations. I feel like the eliminations have been so strong. I'm willing to let it go, but yeah. I totally agree. Especially if this is going to be the double, like do hall brawl. If it's the double, like do something that's going to like make our blood boil both times. Like the first time, you know, the wrestle, the stick, what's it called? I know what it's called, but I forget.
Paul wrestle.
Yeah. Thank you. So I was like that. That's great to see twice.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right. So anything to say about Jenna versus Anissa? I mean, Jenna says she's about 6 balls left. Jenna had more than 6, but I still a great showing from Jenna.
It was. Very good. How about D being surprised at how good Casey is? I guess, you know, talk about Kayla not watching the show. D just has no idea who any of these people ever are.
I mean, save it. Like, I get not necessarily being, because I feel like you said something similar, just not like similar, like you didn't think Casey was good, but like, it's easy to underestimate a Big Brother player. But I'm sorry, if you look at Casey, you don't want to see her in elimination.
Plus, this is like week 9. Like, she's won multiple challenges. She's been in the mix and a lot of other, like, she's shown herself to be good. Just because she hasn't necessarily won an elimination yet. I mean, I think she's been in at least 2 tribunals, so she knows what she like. She is good at this stuff.
It was like I'm so over D. It's like not even like it's just like
I think I know obviously for D winning it's great, like she got the money. I almost think her winning is like the worst thing that could ever happen to her. I think she's like so overestimated her own abilities and so many different things because she won that it's gonna like torpedo her chance to win again in the future.
That's really interesting because I thought something not in those words, and I really like you said that. Like, it's very interesting because she says that I only want to get the double win. That's the only thing I care about. Like, she in her mind has made herself this great competitor, and she is. She's a good competitor, mm-hmm. but maybe because she's underestimated, she wants to prove even more that this is the space she belongs in. But it's like, then she's lost the joy. There's no joy in watching D. It's really just, she only cares about winning, but like Jenny cares about winning, but there's joy in it. Like she's relaxed a little bit. D mm-hmm. is just so dead set on proving herself, maybe to the haters or what. I don't know what motivates her, but it's joyless. So I think that's really true that her winning is probably the worst thing that could have happened to her.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess like, I'm sure a lot of people like not. I'd be like, just give me one. I'll give it all back. Just give me one.
I have nothing else to say in the episode. I'm ready to move to our special things.
Let's go to the specials.
Let's go to the special things.
Just quick, what do you make of DJ saying it's halfway done? That can mean a lot of things. I don't know what it means, but at least we're halfway done. I don't know what over halfway done.
Whoa. We're halfway. I mean, if we're only halfway done, then I feel like there's got to be way more than just 2 more.
We said over, and over can mean a lot of things. I don't know. Over halfway. Is that like 55%, 60%, I mean, 51%? I don't know.
I'm over halfway done with you right now at this spot. That's good.
Just I hope glad it's just a podcast. So they meant like for life.
No, we're just becoming friends.
That's true.
All right, I have some 5-star reviews. Not as many this week. But I also can't. Oh God, like almost none. We only have 2 guys. All right, we're at 585. We're over halfway done with the season. I set the goal too high. I knew that as soon as I said it, guys. I normally set a nice attainable goal. We're at 585. We have 15 more to go. Help us out. Calling out Molly Block and Johnny Langan directly, who have both said to me, we didn't leave a review because we've always wanted to be a monumental one. And then you always reach that. And I'm like, that's BS. We need you now more than ever. I don't want to be upset at the end of the season. I'll have to come back and just do 1 second podcast after the season's over and say, like, please, we have to get to 600. So thank you. Thank you to Casey Crafton and Mackenzie H. Frenzy Reads. We really appreciate it because I don't want to look stupid. So if you want to help us out, only if you really like the show, or, you know, maybe if you've been on the show, you could go to robinsawebsite.com/challenge iTunes and help me not look stupid.
There you go. 14 for the drinking game this week. No mention of how many drinks that is in terms of White Claws, but 14 total.
Was it 14 last week?
16. So I guess okay. You had like you're almost done with the White Claw if you played along this week. 3 times Casey speaking. I feel like it was more than that, but I guess it's just 3. 1 time for a date night TJ. 1 time someone walks over a table. Oh, I guess John. When did Johnny do that? I don't know. That wasn't really the
walks over.
Like during nominations, I thought that was the rule, but I guess I don't know. I don't know why it says one there.
Look, stop arguing with Kyle Picard.
I'm sorry.
We would never, ever, 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 ever look at these if Kyle wasn't keeping track of these.
I know. All right, I take it back. New bar, perfect. 1 time TJ joked. It's about the swaggy helmet on backers. 1 ticket punch for my finals. 1 time knowing the song. And 1 time flipping the switch, which for Josh. And that's it. That's the 14.
So no out of place dressing.
No out of place dressing.
I guess that's fair. You know, if you want to go out, you wear what you want to wear.
Yep.
All right. I have a very simple one that I don't know that we've done before. But what I've been trying to be inspired by this season is like, when do you want to take a drink? Like the flipping a switch was really like, oh boy, like let me take a drink. Woo. As Bryce would say, let's wet the whistle. I'm going to say if someone DQs in a challenge, take a drink.
That's a good one.
Force him out for Swaggy's career.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. I'll do that. Anytime a friend of yours goes home on your watch.
I thought you were talking to me. I was like, friends? What friends?
So if you're in power and your friend goes home, you can be loose with friends, however you maybe feel someone's a friend. But if one of your friends goes home when you're in a position of power, take a drink.
That's good. All right, let's get to the Twitter. Thank you to Megan Elizabeth, our digital communications manager. So the top headline is that Mel Reeves had her baby.
Woo!
Which, again, is so wild. Like, I'm actually starting. Everyone has been on this. I'm the last person to join this party, but I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't want to watch like Mel and like Hall Brawl while we know she's pregnant.
I thought about it big time with this week when they were falling like 15, 20 feet. Like, that cannot be good.
Yeah, me too. This is the first week where I was like, oh, I was like horrified at the idea that Mel's going to be doing this. So she tweeted, when I competed in tonight's challenge, I never thought I'd be watching it back while sitting here breastfeeding my baby. Like, hey, little girl, look, you were in my belly there. Sorry about the cold. Facepalm emoji, laugh cry emoji. I love Mel.
Yeah.
Okay. Big T wrote, what an amazing experience. Thank you, everyone who's been a part of my journey. Heart emoji, prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands emojis. Woo! A lot of praying. Ooh. Give it up to Big T.
Go, Big T.
Okay.
Big toe.
Big toe. I love Big toe. Don't cut that out of context. Josh Martinez says, sucks that they jumped straight into the bar scene. We had multiple conversations calmly, and it had all built up by this point. Okay. D writes lies.
D has been all over the place on Twitter.
She's
all over the place.
On one. There's more from D. But Mel said, I wish they aired the... Megan Elizabeth is very helpfully curating these by category. So this, we're still in the Josh Swaggy fight land. Not D. D is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mel said, I wish they aired the entire arguments and insults Swaggy and Josh threw at each other. Laugh cry emoji. You can't swim. Yeah, well, you're bad at puzzles. Laugh cry emoji. Laugh cry emoji. Laugh cry emoji. It was like being back in school. Thanks, Mom.
That's funny.
All right. So Wes posts a picture of Dee drinking wine and says, I've created a monster. And much like Dr. Frankenstein, I'm no longer proud of my creation at Dee. Jennifer West is Jenny, I think. So she wrote, I was so gutted to learn that the relationship was fake to her. We hung out every day in that bunker and got on so well, and I actually miss her friendship. Eye roll emoji.
Yeah, Rob would not be pleased with her handle. Jennifer West of one. Not the best.
And then in a reply, D wrote, you be right, babes. You got loads of friends. XX. What? Okay.
So does that say, like, yeah, we're not friends, but you have a lot of other friends?
She's out of control.
She's out of control. Out of control.
And then, this is incredible. Rogan wrote in all caps, I just need to get this off my chest. I want to say, .. for the record, .. we did get invited back. Smile emoji, weird, and beer mug emoji. And then just people, like, talking great about Casey. Good job, Casey.
You know, good. I know, like, obviously we shit on Rogan a lot, but to come back from your debut season where you're not even part of the MTV world, you're, like, kind of, like, tossed into the show, you don't even make it an episode. And now here he is becoming one of the more, like, important characters in this world. Like, that's an inspiration to a lot of people who have tried and failed to make it on the challenge.
I feel inspired. Okay. So a couple of some news. First of all, have you heard of OnlyFans, Brian? Are you aware of OnlyFans?
I saw it coming across the wire a little bit this week. I don't really know what it is, but I've seen the name.
Take a guess.
You have to be fans of something?
Yeah, so OnlyFans is like a private website where, like, people, it's like patrons directly to you, and it's usually some naughty photos on OnlyFans. So Dee has an OnlyFans. Devin has an OnlyFans. Kayla has an OnlyFans. It's like the new it girl of the challenge. Okay. I'm now looking.
Cameo Plus.
Cameo Plus, indeed. I'm now looking quickly to see if Dee has said anything. She wrote, I'm all about the money, baby. Subscribe to my OnlyFans at this. I'm trying to find out if she said anything more about the stuff with Rogan. Oh, so someone wrote, Rogan is literally telling Jenny everything Dee told him not to, and he's throwing her under the bus for the second season in a row, trying to target her. You cannot make this S up, bruh. I'm so shook. And she wrote, me too, bruh. Like, well, then we're shook. Like, what's the problem? Come on, Dee. All right, I wanted Dee to say something about Rogan, but I guess she hasn't. Okay. Anyway, here's a fight about OnlyFans between Kayla and Nelson.
Ugh. Nelson, getting back in the mix.
Okay. Screenshots.
Hope he apologizes after and it'll all be good.
Meanwhile, people are getting on Swaggy and Bailey because it was Bailey's 27th birthday. I don't know if you saw this. Swaggy gave Bailey $27,000 cash for her birthday, laid out by Cheyenne, Corey's co-parent from the challenge and from Are You the One, on the bed. It's wild to look at, and they posted it everywhere. So happy birthday to Bailey.
It's a lot better than $242, whatever Jared gave Elaine.
All right. okay, so Nelson wrote, OnlyFans, chin scratch emoji. That's an old classic. We haven't seen that in a while. Is it okay now because Beyonce said it in a song? Yes or no, vote. Obviously, I can't say the results. I didn't vote in a Nelson poll. And Kayla retweeted it and said, it's okay. It was okay before then. It has, it always has been okay. And if I were you, I'd stop talking about women and what they can and can't do with their own bodies while you're ahead. Now, Kayla has every reason to be pissed at Nelson. I did think this was, like, a little aggressive based on what he tweeted.
A little, but I that was, like, a rare, you could feel, like, the snaps going in the tweet, like the swag in that tweet.
There's history behind it, but if you really look at Nelson's tweet, she set herself up because then Nelson says, here goes Kayla thinking too much and assuming I'm talking about women. I was actually thinking about joining the club. Is that okay with you? Hashtag love OnlyFans. So at this hour, you may be able to see Ellen Nelson on OnlyFans.
There you go.
That's it. What more do you need? That's all I got, Brian.
Perfect. Land of the plane. Hit subscribe, robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian _. Follow you
at Lash Tweets.
Be back next week.
Oh wait, let's talk for a second.
10?
So you got two people interested. So we're gonna do an anniversary show. Yep. What did we decide next week?
Yeah, be dropping next week or the following week. What did we? I don't even remember what
we said. June 8th. You said was our first show. So we're going to aim to drop it June 8th. We have no approval yet to do this, but, you know, ask for forgiveness, not for permission. And I have like 15 questions for Brian so far. We'll do an over under on how many questions Brian will ask me in response. I'll say we'll put it at 2, and maybe we'll take some audience questions. I regret asking for them because I'm sure I'll have to go through 1,000 questions, but we'll maybe be on the lookout for that.
I'll call, you know, challenge accepted. I'm going to hit 3.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. This is more about my real move, as RuPaul has said, you got to make yourself vulnerable for the audience to fall in love with you. So as my true act of your agent, we're going to make the audience who already loves you fall even more in love with you by being able to get some of these answers. Questions I have, just after 6 years, I have some questions for you.
Perfect.
And then you won't be on the episode that week. So it'll work out. It works out.
Exactly. Get your dose of me. Not that anyone's asking for it. But
Two people asked. So we will do it.
Two people. That was reassuring. Because there was a long period of time where I was like, oh, no one gives a fuck. But there we go. Got a couple people.
That moment where you just said that is my favorite part of the podcast we have ever done.
Oh, man. All
Someone
right.
please cut that audio for me, please, just so I can have it in my collection.
Yep. Episode 10 next week. Till next time, have a good one.